You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Happy Friday, everybody. We're celebrating a 128-100 win over the New York Knicks. A bit of a revenge game after the Knicks dealt the Celtics a very bad loss 2 weeks ago. Today, the Celtics got them back. And fueled by Jaylen Brown and Kyrie Irving, your two top scorers, we're the Raining Jays, John Corrales, Samuel Jamison Packard III, in the Boston Garden. You can probably hear some of the deconstruction behind us.
Bull gang at work.
Bull gang tearing this down so they can get hockey back into place. So tonight, Jaylen Brown came off the bench, and Jaylen Brown did a fantastic job scoring 20 points and getting to the line 9 times, really aggressive, really just showing that he's willing to do the things that the Celtics need him to do. And I think that really helps the Celtics now solidify, for now, a starting unit, a really good bench. And they're not there yet, Sam, but they're starting to figure things out.
They're not completely there yet in terms of putting together a game on both ends of the court, but this is the fourth game in a row the offense has scored over 118 points. Jaylen Brown was great, but so were the rest of the guys on the team. Kyrie Irving had another fantastic performance. Al Horford played well. They really just their offense was consistent throughout the entire night, and that's why they were able to, despite not the best defensive performance, still beat the Knicks by plenty of points.
So what we did, we recorded our thoughts after the first half, so we'll play that as our next segment here, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up with some other thoughts and our Twitter and our junk drawer. So here are our thoughts at halftime. Halftime here, 69-58 Celtics.
Tice.
Nice. On the plus side, they've scored a nice amount of points. On the downside, they've given up 58 points. It's gone down to 46% shooting. Got as high as 67% for the Celtics, for the Knicks. So Celtics, really the big problem is they can't handle the size right now.
Yeah, no, Enes Kanter is 10 points, 6 rebounds. Noah Vonleh is going right at Jason Tatum a bunch. Mitchell Robinson has done some good things, but he's in foul trouble. But they did a better job in the second quarter of defense. The Knicks' shooting percentage did go down. But the good news is everyone on the Celtics roster is scoring. Jason Tatum, 12 points. Al Horford, 11 points. Kyrie, 9. Tice has 6. Hayward has 5. Jaylen Brown, in a nice return, has 12 points. Everyone's getting opportunities. It's both teams are very struggling to really put up any sort of resistance.
Yeah, the Celtics, I think, came out with the plan to get Jaylen Brown going. He did a nice job attacking a closeout. Then they ran some plays. They had a nice dribble handoff with Al Horford to get him turning the corner and going and attacking, like we have said on previous podcasts. Get Jaylen Brown attacking, and then he can get the scoring opportunities at the rim. Then he gets to the free throw line. He's 4-for-4 from the line, which is fantastic for Jaylen Brown, who is shooting in the mid-60% from the free throw line. Celtics are 9 of 9 from the line. Adam Himmelsbach just tweeted out, Celtics are 30 for 30 from the free throw line over their past 6 quarters. So attacking the rim, getting to the free throw line, getting those easy points, and look, you put up 69 points and a half. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it seems like they're playing with kind of the same energy they originally played the Knicks with, just making shots and a lot less shitty. I don't know. The game's been kind of weird so far. It's like The Celtics feel like they should be up by probably more than 11 right now.
Yeah.
But they feel like they've been in control for the entire game. They started out on like a 6-0 run, and ever since feel like they've been in control. But the Knicks are kind of staying close, but the Celtics are scoring with ease. The Knicks are not playing defense.
No, they are not. They are incapable of playing defense. So are the Celtics in a lot of instances. They just had Emmanuel Mudiay get a clear path to the basket. No one stopped him. Easy layup. They've had breakdowns in the pick and rolls. Again, pocket passes to Enes Kanter for easy shots. Like you said, Vonleh attacking Tatum. The Celtics have to clear things up defensively. They should run away with this. We should go into the postgame with a fun 30-point win press conference with Brad Stevens. But they won't. It'll be like this if they don't shore up the defense. They've got to clean up that pick-and-roll defense, and they've got to figure out a way to keep those big guys off the glass and away from the basket now that Aaron Baines is out with that sprained ankle.
That's what I was going to mention. Baines only played 2 minutes tonight, came down on his left ankle, just clearly rolled it. I don't expect it to be Jim Packard's official diagnosis. It's going to be a day-to-day for a couple couple games, but I don't expect it to be long. But I think we saw a lot of Tice minutes, 8 in the first half. I thought he did well, but you're right. They're going to have to figure out a way to control Kanter. But the thing is, Kanter gives on one end and takes on the other. He's been the guy they've been abusing in pick and roll when they're on offense. So maybe you take the good with the bad and just keep rolling.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to negate him that way, that I guess that's fine. But it'd still be nice to kind of keep him off the glass and prevent some of those second-chance points. I'm just looking at his offensive rebounds. 3 offensive rebounds in the first half. So that alone, just it's fine. He'll score in the post. Sometimes you blow a pick and roll coverage, okay, but getting him those second chance points, those easy offensive rebounds, that's you work hard on defense, you get a stop, you force a miss, you've got to finish that possession off by grabbing that defensive rebound. I know they're not going to grab all of them, but we know Enes Kanter is going to crash the board. Somebody find him and put a body on him, just box him out. Make him go over your back. Maybe you'll get him into some kind of foul trouble and get him to sit down. But do something to keep him off the glass.
I'm kind of surprised. I feel like you're more negative than I expected you to be when they're up 11 right now.
Well, it's because they should be up probably 20 at this point. And there's not much to say. Positively, they've scored a lot of points. They've done a lot of good things offensively. Guys are hitting shots. It's great offensively. But I think... I'm anticipating what Brad Stevens is going to bring up later, and I'm sure the poorest defense in the first half. Like, this is, you're not supposed to give up 58 points to this Knicks team. They'll hit some shots. Tim Hardaway was hot early on, hit a few shots. You're going to roll through those stretches. I just don't like seeing those defensive breakdowns like that, because if this happens against better teams, it's going to be a big, big problem.
You're not always going to be playing Mario Hezonja.
Exactly. If we're talking process over results, I want the process to be cleaner on the defensive end for the Celtics.
That's fair. I think just considering how terribly this team has played on offense, they've been pretty good in the last 3 games, but I think this offense is exactly what you expect like a good Brad Stevens offensive team to look like. 20 assists or on 27 field goals. Everyone getting shots up. Everyone shooting pretty efficiently. So I think you're going to take the good with the bad. But if they're going to keep scoring 69 points, Tice, in a half, I think things are going to end up pretty well for the Celtics.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, the Celtics right now, I don't know if we can expect them to keep shooting 55% from the field. But with this Knicks defense, maybe they'll get even higher than 55%. So a lot of good things happening. Gordon Hayward's been making some spectacular passes.
He's a great player, passer, especially in transition. Feels like he always makes the right moment. There was that one play, Jalen, on the fast break, where he hesitated a little bit just to basically draw the defender in and get the guy wide open. There's a play with Tice that you highlighted on Twitter as well. He just seems to be making the right decision, and especially highlighted in transition.
Yep. So, and we saw him come in with Jaylen Brown together. We played those two with Terry Rozier a little bit, just like we thought. So that's going well. My only other note from the first half for the Celtics offensively is Marcus Smart's the only guy who's allowed to throw alley-oops. Everyone's alley-oops are trash. We saw Jason Tatum try to throw two.
I think Tatum scored 4 points on alley-oop attempts tonight.
One went into the basket. The other one led Al Horford out of bounds. Marcus Smart threw two gorgeous alley-oops. Smart's the only guy allowed to throw alley-oops.
My final observation for the half is 5-5-5 watch for Al Horford. 7 rebounds so far, 11 points, 3 assists, and 3 blocks. The blocks are going to be the hardest one, but I'm feeling it. I think the 5-5-5 night's going to happen. I need a better name for it. I was going to call it a quadruple single, but then I realized single digits, that doesn't really mean anything.
No,
that's it's a nonsense term, so I'll come up with something better.
We'll figure that out. All right, we'll take a break here. Before we do, before we get back with the second half and final observations, and remind everybody to check out Locked On NBA Net on Twitter and Instagram. The Instagram feed is 15-second stories in a 1 minute, 15-second clips in a 1 minute story, longer clips on the feed, so you can sample the entire network on the Instagram feed. On Twitter, Locked On NBA Net is a curated list of all of the Locked On podcast hosts, all the good stuff, none of the nonsense. You can follow us directly for the nonsense. You know where to find that. But Locked On NBA Net on Twitter and on Instagram. All right, so a lot of the same stuff really in the second half, although I will say that my first half concerns about the defense, not entirely answered, but they did hold the Knicks to, 42 points in the second half, as opposed to 58 in the first half, 16 in the fourth quarter. Some of that was garbage time, but fourth quarter is really when they started to clamp down a little bit. And so better defense, still not great defense, and they'll have to figure out that pick and roll after the game. Brad Stevens was talking about guys switching when they shouldn't have been switching. The communication still not great, but at least they're making steps forward and winning a game where they make defensive mistakes rather than having those mistakes really cost them and losing and having bad losses.
I think they were able to just keep scoring, and I think that's what kept them ahead. But, yeah, they gave up a lot of open threes. The Knicks made a ridiculous amount of threes. I think Tim Hardaway Jr., 6 of his 7 makes were three-pointers. It was him, Moutier, some guy named Dotson made some threes. But really in the third quarter, Kyrie came out. He scored 11 points, a couple of FU threes in there. And then Al Horford, after going the first, what was it, quick math here, 21 minutes with 0 points, ended up, what was his time? With 19. He basically scored all 19 of his points in the final 3 minutes of the second quarter, and then he scored
8 in the third
quarter. 8 in the third quarter and puts him on. I thought he was pretty good in the third quarter. But, yeah, the Celtics were able just to keep scoring. If it wasn't for one missed free throw in the fourth quarter, they would have scored 30 points in each of the quarters. They just kept pouring it on and pretty much spread it around. And by the time it got to the fourth quarter, I think at the closest the Knicks got it to was 12. And then just as we were complaining about Terry Rozier not playing well on the offense, there were some brutal minutes with Terry Rozier kind of being the facilitator of the second unit. They bring in Kyrie Irving, they bring in the three-guard unit, and Terry Rozier off ball hits a three to put it to 17.
Yeah. I sat there and said, we got to get Rozier out of there. And Smart came to check in, and we were like, oh, okay, there he goes. But no, he came in and got Jaylen Brown. And that, I think there's a lot of evidence piling up, and I'll just have to go search for it, but I think there's a lot more evidence piling up that Terry Rozier now has to play off ball. He just has to, and keeping him as a facilitator trying to run the offense, it's not ideal. It's definitely not ideal. He misses things. He misses too many reads, and I think it costs him defensively. He's supposed to be better than this. He's supposed to be better defensively, and I think defensively he's had too many shortcomings this season. Offensively, it's frustrating sometimes to watch. There was one possession where he kept trying to feed Jaylen Brown on the post, and we get it. Jaylen Brown had a mismatch, and he was trying to post them up. You couldn't do it. Stop trying to force feed that. And I know I'm nitpicking one possession, but that's a lapse. It's too heavily focused on trying to take advantage of that one mismatch. Just work the ball around. Don't worry. Jalen can get back in the post, but work the ball around and make the defense move. Maybe something else will open up. Just because that one guy has one mismatch doesn't mean the rest of the players on the floor don't play basketball. I get it, but you just got to move the ball. That was a stagnant part of the game where the Knicks were keeping it close. They were getting it down to like 12, and I never really felt like the game was going to fall out of reach, but it was still too close for the Celtics at that point. They should have had this blowout well in hand before it actually became a blowout.
And I think because of how stagnant the offense looked and how kind of confused the Celtics looked on defense, Brad Stevens went back to his starters, and we saw Kyrie Irving return to the game, and he hurt his shoulder somehow. We don't really know how. We tried to look at that, break it down Zapruder film style. And he just kind of got tangled up in the middle and immediately started grabbing his shoulder and asked out of the game. After the game, Brad said that Kyrie wasn't worried about it. He stayed on the bench, just got some ice, but I don't expect him to play in Chicago because it's the Chicago Bulls. But
I would guess you're right.
Why not rest? Like, what do you get from that? This team should really be able to beat the Chicago Bulls without Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I would say so. I don't know. I mean, I guess the counterpoint is if it's fine, then it's fine. But if there's any sort of soreness or anything like that, just sit them. Just take a day off. Like I said, it's the Bulls. And the Bulls, though, I mean, getting Lauri Markkanen back is a big deal.
New coach, new energy.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? But they don't seem to think it's a big deal. They've got a day off before they have to make a decision. So we'll have to wait and see on that. Another injury here, Aaron Baines with the sprained ankle. Brad Stevens made the joke after the game saying that Baines, in true Baines fashion, said that he's like ready to go, he'll do like 3-on-3 drills tomorrow, run a marathon, and then he'll be ready to play on Saturday. So, but he then said he doesn't know if the doctors agree. Well,
he's another guy I don't think should play against Chicago.
I don't think he should play in Chicago as well.
Maybe you get some Time Lord.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You get the Time Lord in there. You get Tice. You get everybody else play. You can get Brad Wanamaker some extra minutes. I think the Celtics can start Marcus Smart and maybe you start Gordon Hayward in that game, or maybe you'd start Smart and
Jaylen.
Do something. Well, yeah, you do Jalen or you do something crazy like Shemmy or something like that that they like to do. One thing I think Brad Stevens specifically noted the bench in this bench unit, and it kind of went along with what we were saying in the last podcast, where Gordon and Jalen coming in together really works with one another. And I think Gordon Hayward, who I said earlier was making some great passes, continues to make great passes. Had a good game today, but not like that big time scoring game. But I didn't see any step back, anything backwards from Gordon Hayward.
I have a SAT analogy.
Oh,
Ben Simmons is to three pointers what Gordon Hayward is to dunking over someone. I just want him to leap over someone and dunk. Like, that's the one thing that I was like, the final switch I need to happen when he's back. Tonight we saw another, like, he shot the ball comfortably with some guy like in his face, knocked down some three-point shots. He looked very comfortable that way. He's still distributed, but there's still, when he turns the corner, he is not looking to dunk. I mean, not many guys are if they're in traffic, but he's not looking to explode to the rim.
And he can't explode to the rim. He's not even trying to explode to the rim. Although I will say he's drawing the fouls, which is nice, but he's nowhere near where he was in Utah or early on with the Celtics in the preseason last year. There's still a ways to go when it comes to that.
He was good. I'm still waiting for him to be great. He was great against the Timberwolves, but he still scored, 8 points, 6 boards, 4 assists. It's a jack-of-all-trades game for Hayward.
And they didn't need him to do the 30 points thing because they had Jaylen Brown scoring 20 off the bench. So that was a nice effort off the bench. So against Chicago, maybe we'll see Brad Stevens. I think I don't want to read too much into it, but this thought just popped into my head. If Brad Stevens starts somebody else besides Jaylen Brown, do you think that could be a signal that the Hayward-Brown pairing off the bench is something that they really want to work on? and have that be the norm moving forward? Because if you're thinking about bringing Jalen back into the starting lineup or bringing Gordon Hayward back into the starting lineup, then you'll just start one of those two guys against Chicago because eventually they'll be in the starting unit. But if you're not, if you really like those guys off the bench, then maybe
start
you
Rozier.
Start Rozier. Now you're onto something because Rozier is better as a starter. So you
and maybe you get his confidence going a little more.
That's it. So that makes sense. So you start Rozier to get his confidence going, and you keep Hayward and Brown off the bench, and now that I think sends a bit of a signal that
this is our bench unit moving forward.
We
Let's
like
get some
that.
Chemistry
yeah.
Going.
Yeah. And so.
I like all this galaxy brain thinking, but it's going to be funny when they just start Kyrie.
Yeah. Probably. All right. So that's those are my notes from the game. I don't think there's anything else. I thought, some good ball movement. We saw the Celtics. Look, the offense not a problem. They scored a ton of points. The Knicks not a great defensive team, so of course they're going to score a lot of points. But. You still have to put the ball in the basket, which the Celtics weren't doing earlier this season.
They won the game they were supposed to win, and that's not something they're doing in the first 20
right.
games of the season.
Right, and you know, that I think might be the simplest way to make this, to sum up the most positive part about all of this. They're supposed to beat teams like this, and they're supposed to beat them like this. It's not that they're just supposed to beat bad teams. They're supposed to really beat bad teams. They're supposed to put them away. And I should say what they should do is sit fourth quarters, which they didn't, but they at least put them away and beat them pretty handily. I think they had control of this game pretty much the whole way. Let's take a break. We're going to come back and we'll do some quick Twitter questions. Your hashtag Rain and Jays, the Rain and Junk in a junk drawer. And we're out of here. First of all, I want to remind everybody Locked On NBA Fantasy Basketball, Locked On Fantasy Basketball on the Locked On Podcast Network is a podcast you should be listening to, not just if you're a fantasy player, also if you're a daily fantasy player, also if you're just looking to get an in-depth breakdown of the night before in the NBA. Josh Lloyd does amazing work with that podcast. It's super popular. It's there for fans of every team because it's not really a fan-centered podcast. It's a breakdown of the night before in great detail. So subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast with Josh Lloyd wherever you get your podcasts. So throughout the game, people have been tweeting us with the hashtag RaininJays and asking some questions, making some comments. So let's rifle through a few of these. At Live Green or Die, quote of the night, Mike and Scal talking about Kevin Knox. Gorman, New York is really big on this kid, Scal. I think that's based off hope more than anything else. I think I get the Knox stuff.
You get the Kevin Knox.
I get the Kevin Knox stuff because I liked what I saw in summer league, and I was like, oh, I'm excited to see what this kid can do in the regular season, and I became the Kevin Knox guy. He did a few good things tonight. Not a great game, but I think he's having a typical rookie year. You know, not great, not bad, but whatever. So, funny quote. I get it. I'm the Knox guy. I get it. At Poya is Emissary, how long do the Jalen haters shut up for after this one?
Until Jalen has another bad game.
That's it.
That's what internet hate is.
Yeah.
You got to seize the moment and hate while you can.
That's it. At Bill Bradbury, all the Jalen and Al shit talkers, you good now?
Wait, there were Al shit talkers?
Yeah, well, there's always an Al shit talker.
Well, I mean, no, but we don't listen to Loomer Loney on this podcast.
Yeah, but this is how the trolling works. They ignore games like this. They won't even acknowledge that this happened. And so we say, you know, hey, look, Jalen did, this. He was good. And they won't acknowledge
it. But what about the other time?
Right. The next time Jalen Brown has a bad game, they'll pipe up. Or Al Horford has a bad game, they'll pipe up. We'll say, hey, what about this game? They go, oh, yeah, you should do it consistently. That's the comeback. They suck. These people who want to do that, they aren't consistent themselves. So they're assholes.
Oh, they're consistently bad.
Prof Chop, Jalen Brown killing it out there. Love the motivation from the bench, attacking and scoring at the rim. Lots of Jalen Brown here. Rifesy. Bench Jalen hits free throws. This is a nice development.
Shouts to Rifesy. It's been a while.
Yeah. I feel like he's still been tweeting. I just don't know that we've been reading.
Been using the hashtag? Rife Seaweed, bro. We watch it back. Keep using that hashtag.
Let's see here.
Shouts to Jovian Shadow for drinking a beer with us during the game.
Always great, man. He's always tweeting us the beers. I'm a big fan. At Trav underscore Lewis, thoughts on Hayward overpassing. Noticed it a couple times in traffic this season. For a guy with great vision, it's an interesting habit. He addressed the overpassing in the past week or so. He has acknowledged that he overpasses. Sometimes I think, well, it's the stuff that we've been talking about. He gets stuck on drives. He doesn't have that explosiveness, and he has to find a way out. And a lot of times when he drives now, teams understand. If I'm a coach coaching against the Celtics, I'll say when Hayward drives, play for the pass. And you play for that pass. You don't help because he's not going to explode over anybody right now. Until he starts dunking on people, I just play him with no help, and you stay in the passing lanes, and you let him try to figure things out. That's just a function of him having tried to make too many passes in the past, a function of his lack of explosiveness right now. Eventually, the hope is that that all goes away because he'll start dunking on people. Like the first time he dunks on somebody, we're going to go, oh, shit. And then things are going to change a lot. So, yeah, some overpassing from Hayward.
Right now he reminds me of myself playing pickup because he's driving to pass. He's not driving to finish at the rim. That's basically an affliction I suffer from.
Yeah. And this from Jesse Frazier at JR underscore F8. More positive Gordon Hayward tweet. Observation I've made. Gordon is starting to turn corners and blow by people now. Drive and kick game has been on point. So that's a positive aspect.
Blow by is a strong statement, but yes, he is driving more.
I will say, yeah, blow by is a little bit strong. He's not blowing by many people. He is starting to turn corners. He is at least getting into the restricted area a little bit more consistently. Still struggling a little bit on what he's doing there, but it is a good point, and it is a good development that he is doing this. So we love that he is taking those steps forward. That's the Rain and Jays hashtag. You got Rain and Junk?
I got some Rain and Junk.
Let's hit it.
From Robert Denton, 40-point lead or it's not a win, a mere moral victory. That's fantastic stuff.
Look, man, they covered the spread, which is an important thing for these guys. A lot of people were sweating when this 13-point line, and they were dancing around a 12-point lead. So I'm sure the gamblers who are listening are like, you know what? A 14-point win was great. Never mind 40.
This is from Greg Casoli. On a scale of 1 to the Celtics bench when Yabu makes a 3, how excited is Red's Army John to be watching Kevin Knox tonight? That's just a good old-fashioned goof. From Trav Lewis, is Marcus Smart a wizard? He turns old man Al into huge hops Horford. More terrible alley-oops. We mentioned this in the first half, but I almost asked Brad this after the game because no one really seemed to want to ask a question, but I didn't, and I feel bad about that now. But
tonight would have been a great final question.
You don't know when to time the final question though, because there was a lull, and then you asked a pretty good question about Jaylen Brown. I didn't want to come before that. I mean, I'm all in my own head when it comes to talking to Brad. And this one from Betsy Patel. Happy Deuce Day! Shouts to the little guy, Jason Tatum Jr.'s birthday. They showed him on the Jumbotron, and that was actually going to be my first note. For my junk drawer, so we'll use that to transition. Today was Deuce Day. He turns 1 year old. Everyone should celebrate. Jason Tatum celebrating Deuce. Very quiet. What was it? 17-point game? 7 from 11 from the field? I thought Tatum was fantastic tonight. But just with so many guys scoring and Jaylen Brown making his return, he doesn't get a lot of credit. But for Deuce Day. Deuce Day is a great holiday. Before the game, apparently on NBC Sports Boston and this interview, according to our friend Chris Forsberg, will be on Celtics Post Up tonight on Friday. Abby Chin asked Marcus Morris about the famous pic of him grabbing the ref's ass and asked him if he meant to grab that much cheek, and apparently he was very flustered. So I look forward to that.
That is going to be good.
The transition of NBC Sports Boston just asking the Celtics their reactions to the weird things that we post has been a fantastic evolution, and so shout-outs to Max Lederman for that.
Shout-out to the weird Celtics Twitter. Look at the influence that they've had on the mainstream Celtics coverage. I mean, these are, by all accounts, a bunch of idiots on Twitter. And I say that with,
we're complete idiots.
Of endearment.
Yes.
That they have just been so, like, they hit this sweet spot because they all know what they're talking about. It's not just a bunch of, like, morons who are just, oh, I'm just going to do this thing. I'm going to make a meme and I don't care. Everybody knows exactly what they're watching. All of these people who pretend, I think there's a little bit of playing up to the personalities, that they are very smart basketball people, but they've got this sweet spot of knowing the game and not taking it very seriously at all.
It's my exact lane, baby.
That's just beautiful. It's just beautiful to just see this. I can't even describe it, really, but the fact that it has permeated mainstream Celtics coverage, that it's part of post-game analysis on the station that carries the games, that our sideline reporter and studio host is asking players about that picture, is beautiful. It's beautiful. I can't give these guys enough credit for their influence on the Celtics.
Praise be to the Riffs, man.
It's unbelievable.
Basketball menorah. There's a menorah for some reason in the media room that is basketball themed. It comes in a box that looks like it's from the 1980s. It says tall basketball menorah on it. I've only ever seen it in the Celtics media room. This is the third consecutive year. I think it's fantastic. You can check out my Instagram or my Twitter for a nice video of the basketball menorah.
Hey, it's Hanukkah season, so happy Hanukkah.
There was a moment where Smarf did a reverse layup that made Herzogna fall down that I just don't. Still don't understand the physics of it, but after the whole Herzogna Giannis thing, just watching Herzogna fall down is fantastic.
Should have stepped over him.
He was way too far in the crowd for him to be even be stepped over. He went flying. Speaking of Marcus Smart, he did not know who Captain Planet was, and he lost the competition of naming cartoon characters to Al Horford. I'm a big Captain Planet guy, so I was disappointed. I picked Smarf before. More Smarf talk. No longer shooting 55% from three. What was he? 0 of 5
tonight?
What did
he shoot tonight? 0 for 5.
0 for 5. So
McRib. No longer available at participating stores.
Got a shout out to Jimmy Zooms for bringing me some chocolate Chex Mix at halftime. Al did not get the 5-5-5 I predicted. He got 4 blocks, but not even close on assists. Did not get any more assists. Finished with 19-10, 3 assists and 4 blocks, but did not get the 5-5-5-5, which I still need to name. And then here's a question. Can you win a championship with Mook as your best player?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then, so I tweeted that out, you know, as a joke.
As a joke.
And then the NBA, Locked On NBA Network retweeted it, making me look like an idiot. And I'm sure these fans in, like, Oklahoma City who look like Locked On Thunder or, like, the Locked On Blazers fans, like, who is this Taco Jam fella? And why does he keep saying nonsense? And so, like, you gotta have like a pretty solid understanding of my shtick if you're gonna find me funny. I'm not like cruising fastballs over the plate. It's some weird stinky cheese up here.
You're a junk baller. Definitely junk baller.
I'm putting some spit on there. So for the NBA Locked On NBA Network to retweet some of my more ridiculous stuff, I never know how it's going over nationally.
I'm very curious to see now how people in Oklahoma City perceive Jam Packard. They just don't understand the brand. You just don't understand it.
Maybe they will eventually. Maybe they'll be like, man, this guy's got jokes. But like, what if they think I'm legit? Who knows? I feel like I need to explain to all of my fan, all of the people on the Locked On NBA Network. most of these are goofs.
Well, I just prefer to have people believe that you're serious. I mean, it's probably funnier that way.
Oh, yeah.
If people in Portland are thinking, is he for real? Does he really think that Marcus Morris can be their best player and win a championship?
The other night I tweeted, imagine losing to the Nuggets couldn't be my team. And I got a bunch of people coming at me like, bro, the Celtics just lost to the Nuggets. Are you kidding me? I was like, that's the joke.
You suck, McBain. All right. That was fun. Nice. It's always fun to podcast after a win. Celtics blow the doors off the Knicks. Final score was 128-100. They're off to Chicago. Who knows who's going to play in that game? That should be another easy win. Four in a row for the Celtics, hopefully five. And we will be here next on Monday to talk about the Chicago game. So subscribe to the podcast if you haven't, so you can get that directly into wherever you get your podcasts. If you are a subscriber, five-star rating, good written review. And, of course, share the podcast when people ask what they should be listening to. Tell them it's the Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.